How can an understanding of the theology of the cross help in times of pain, suffering, and loss? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is titled The Problem of Suffering, A Father's Hope. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Problem of Suffering by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Problem of Suffering, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January.
Well, you know, it is very exciting, and we're very excited about you and the wins that we've been able to put together. But I think, you know, in what you're alluding to earlier, you know, just with the support and everything, I think, you know, the greatest thing for me is we play a game out here, and we're very passionate, as you could see me playing out there today, and I love it and I care about it. But I think the greatest thing with this sport and with the NFL is we have such a platform. And we can take that platform, we can influence the next generation. And, you know, that is honestly my passion. And, you know, this week we got to announce that, you know, I was building a hospital in the Philippines. And this game means a lot, but that hospital means more to me because that's changing people's lives. You know, that's giving people, you know, faith and hope and love. And, you know, that's more important. And so my ultimate goal with this, with playing football, you know, is to be a great role model that a parent can look at their son and say, you know, that's someone that's trying to do it the right way. He's not perfect, but every day he's trying to get better and he's trying to honor God and do the right thing, do what's right and do his best.
That is, of course, Tim Tebow. He's a quarterback for the Denver Broncos, speaking to the press. He does set his priorities different than a lot of NFL players. I was watching Jimmy Fallon the other night, and all he had to do, playing a game of charades, to get the right answer, which was Tim Tebow, was take a knee and take a prayerful posture. What does the media get? What doesn't the media get about Tim Tebow? Joining us to talk about that, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway. She's a reporter in Washington, D.C. and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
What does the press get and not get about Tim Tebow?
Okay, but I think what they get is that he is an incredibly popular figure. ESPN does a monthly poll of who Americans' favorite active athlete is. And in December, so even before this last week's game, Americans chose Tim Tebow for the first time. There have only been very few people who have even hit the top of that poll in decades. So he is an incredibly, incredibly popular figure and very fun to watch and very fun to read about. And so you're seeing a ton of coverage. People cannot get enough, you're seeing tons of reporters writing about it. Editors are commissioning many pieces on the topic, even in far-flung places that have nothing to do with the Denver Broncos or teams that are playing the Denver Broncos. You're seeing local coverage about him and the phenomenon of Tebow mania. So that's what they do get. They've picked up on his popularity, and they're exploiting that. And then what they don't get is probably much of anything else about the religious angle there. I think there's a lot of Tim Tebow is an outspoken evangelical. There have been quite a few outspoken evangelicals in sports. I was even thinking, as you just told the Jimmy Fallon story, that Oral Hershiser used to take a knee after he won a game. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So why was he not condemned roundly in the press? And I don't know if it's the difference of the sport or whatnot, but people really, there's a certain anti-Tebow sentiment that you can kind of pick up and a lot of skepticism about who he is. And it's just also a lot of confusion about his particular type of evangelicalism and even a mingling of what some of his supporters articulate and who he is himself. So by that I mean that Tim Tebow will never say, I mean, I just read an interview with him today, and in fact it was in USA Today, and it was a pretty good piece on how he, if you ask him, is God blessing you, is God favoring you in particular, or something like that, he'll say, absolutely not, you know, that's not what I believe. I believe that God loves all of us, blah, blah, blah. But if you see an interview with some of his supporters, they actually do articulate that they think God is particularly blessing Tim Tebow, bestowing special favor on him. And that is a certain theological concept that I've never even seen the phrase for that theological concept of theology of glory in newspapers. And I don't know if they even pick up on it or what those theological distinctions are. So you're not seeing a lot of substantive discussion. Or when last week some people noticed that I'm a huge Broncos fan, by the way, so this is a very exciting topic for me. But when Tim Tebow passed for 316 yards, what I found most interesting about that is that he, prior to that, had not passed very well throughout the whole season. But everybody else said, oh, it's a secret Christian numerology sign of John 3:16. And Tebow had famously put that verse on his eye black in a college championship game. So everyone said, oh, it's a secret message about John 3:16. And so you saw approximately 11 billion stories about John 3:16. But again, they weren't terribly substantive. And in fact, the Huffington Post had a piece headlined something like, we are going to explain the meaning of John 3:16 to you. And then it didn't even mention, I mean, it mentioned the verse, but it didn't in any way get to the meaning. And other people tried to explain the John 3:16 verse and did a better job, but you're just seeing a lot of erratic coverage all over the place.
You've also written recently about, this is a remarkable headline from Reuters, gay marriage, a threat to humanity's future, Pope. What's behind this?
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting headline. I saw it all over the place, and I thought, oh, I need to check out what the Pope said, because I've learned that frequently when the media cover what the Pope says, they get it wrong. What I found interesting about this particular headline, which was repeated far and wide, is that the Pope actually didn't say that at all. So he was giving an address to the, I shouldn't be surprised, this happens even every year on this particular speech. He gives an annual speech to the diplomatic corps where he sort of highlights world issues of concern. And he, once again, had a focus on religious liberty. But in his lengthy speech, he had a very complex paragraph about the importance of education for the young and the importance of the family. And he did have a line in there about how marriage is, or that the importance of family based on the marriage of one man and one woman. And that was the basis for the Reuters headline that the Pope says gay marriage is a threat to humanity's future. It's just odd. I mean, even if you want to focus in on that line or that phrase, he could have been talking about any of the threats to the family, from divorce to single parenting to lack of love between husband and wife, or any economic hardships that affect the family or whatnot. But Reuters seemed to know what he really meant and put it in the headline, and it just had no basis in fact.
Molly Ziegler and Hemingway's our guest. When we come back, we'll talk about Rick Santorum, fatherhood, and the LA Times.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
How does Jesus' incarnation provide us with a response to religious relativism? Find out in an article that I've written for the latest issues, etc. journal. It's titled God in a Box, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Michael Schuerman's journey from moralistic therapeutic deism to the rock-solid theology of the Reformation. The online Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The young look of the pro-life movement.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
There is no doubt that the pro-life movement has experienced enormous gains over the last few years. Even with a pro-abortion president since 2008, pro-life laws have seen great success, especially at the state level. In a recent article in the Weekly Standard, author and editor Fred Barnes emphasizes some important trends. One is the rising number of young Americans who are opposed to abortion. As a result, Students for Life chapters on college campuses have doubled just since 2006. Clearly, more young Americans are pro-life and not afraid to say so.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
From God the Father, virgin born, to us the only Son came down, by death the Father.
Concordia Seminary Chorus with stanza one of the Epiphany Hymn, From God the Father, Virgin Born, Monday on Issues, Etc. We'll study this hymn with Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're talking about media coverage of, among other things, the Pope and gay marriage. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is our guest. Molly, also in the LA Times, you've noted a headline that seemed to express some shock that Rick Santorum is in favor of traditional fatherhood. What's that about?
Yeah, so last week in New Hampshire, Rick Santorum actually engaged some of his critics on same-sex marriage and the like, and this actually got quite a bit of coverage from the media. He'd made a point about something like studies had shown that children who have fathers, even if those fathers are in prison or something like that, do better than children who have no fathers in their lives. And so the Los Angeles Times wrote it up as, what was their headline? It was something like, Rick Santorum says fathers in prison are better than gay parents. It was just like, come on. You know, I mean, that it totally took what he was saying out of context. But what I joked was, is the Los Angeles Times saying that fathers are completely unimportant? Well, no, that's not what they were saying either. I mean, they shouldn't be saying anything in a news story to begin with. They should just be reporting the facts. But there's just such animosity towards this idea that some people have about traditional marriage that it just kind of seeps out through the coverage. And another thing I thought was interesting was that he engaged critics at a college forum, I think, and the kids were saying, or I guess the young adults were saying that they supported same-sex marriage, and so he just tried to, like, reason it out with them, ask them what the grounds for marriage is and whatnot. He got one student to say, to basically admit that she was in favor of group marriage under her metric, which was whatever makes you happy. But when the media reported it, they said, Rick Santorum compares gay marriage to polygamy. Now, what was really interesting about the exchange, and I thought it was a really interesting exchange no matter where you stand on the issue, was that they were having an actual discussion, which you don't see very often in the media. But media reports didn't actually show what that discussion was like or where it led or that this girl conceded that group marriage was something she supported. Instead, we were just supposed to think bad thoughts about Rick Santorum. And, you know, they said he compares same-sex marriage to polygamy. Well, he did, to make a point that he actually kind of won on that argument, but we can't mention that in this story. So you're just seeing the same stuff we've grown accustomed to when we're covering marriage debates, which is not a lot of time spent on the substance of what marriage is or why people support traditional marriage, and just a lot of language games and gotcha and, you know, innuendos and a lot of shading of actual events.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a reporter in Washington, D.C. and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, it's always a pleasure, and thanks for your time.
Thank you.